Good morning, and once again, welcome to worship. It's good to see you, and I trust you will find something to help you in the coming day from what you hear on the platform this morning. But what you hear from me is a good one. I know Claire loves her food, but we haven't got any food, but we've got tea and coffee this morning, and after the tea and coffee, if any strong persons around, we'd like your help to clear the community hall for the mums and toddlers tomorrow. That would be really helpful. There's no open airs. They recommence in February, and it will be in a different format, and we'll give more details that as we go along. On Monday, the Sally Wags and Facebook? Food Bank. On Wednesday, Friends Together at 1:30 and the Food Bank again. On Thursday, Coffee Morning from 10 till 12 and Explorers at 3:30 in the afternoon. And on Friday, Food Bank once again. On Saturday, there's a pilgrimage prayer walk for all the churches in Felixstowe. And on Sunday at 3 o'clock in St. Peter and St. Paul's, there is a United Church service. The details of these are in your newsletter, and there are posters on the board. Have you ever thought that you could improve the songsters? We've got some new singers in the songsters, and they're wonderful, aren't they, Julie? You're wonderful singers, yes? Yes. But if you were interested, I'll get the date right, Thursday the 15th of February, at 7:45, you're invited to come along to the songster rehearsal and to join in and sing with the songsters. If you don't want to sing, you can, of course, just sit back and listen and enjoy fellowship. And, of course, there'll be refreshments at the end. And it should all be completed by about 9:30. We are very appreciative of Ewan and people like him who work the tech for us on a Sunday and other times, but we do need a few more helpers. So if you are interested in learning how to use that tech, then Andrew, you need to see Andrew. He'll talk to you about it, and then we'll put you on the list, hopefully, which will cover us on most Sundays. But now, my assistant is going to come and give you a special announcement. Joe.
Good morning, all. Last week it was announced that we have in this hall Walk Through the Bible. I just want to tell you a little bit about it, okay? So on Saturday the 24th of February from 10 until 4, just checking my times, I'm sure that's right, we have in this hall Walk Through the Bible. It's amazing. If you have never experienced it before, you will be missing out if you don't come and join us for the day. It takes you through the big picture, and we are looking at the Old Testament on this date. Now, just at March last year, I trained as an Old Testament mini presenter with Walk Through the Bible. And I have delivered that now to two schools, and I get comments like, oh, I used to hate RE, now I really like it. Or, you're the best RE teacher ever. Thanks. Now, you probably won't say that at the end, but I hope you come away with a similar enthusiasm of saying, wow, I've learnt something new. However much you think you know the Old Testament, you will surely learn something new, or you will learn it in a new way, and you will see that amazing big picture of that Old Testament, God's story. Booking is open. It's an online booking. It does cost £14 for the day. And anyone between 11 and 17 that comes with a parent will get in free. It's not really suitable for under 11s. That would be the children's version, so you need to find a presenter to go into the children's school. We would like to put on a creche to allow parents to come. But Captain Lizette needs some help for that creche because a lot of us want to come to the presentation of Walk Through the Bible. So if you or anyone you know who is able to work with children has a DBS and would like to speak to Captain Lizette and could come and help us with a creche, it may be someone who's not from this church, then we would really like to provide a creche so that parents can come along without anything getting in the way. But anyone from 11 to 17 will get in free as long as they book in with a paying adult. For that money, you take away a presentation. You take away some thoughts to look at over the coming weeks or year. You also will be helping presenters like me to take God's work into school, because the adult live versions help to subsidize the children's work. When I go into school, there is no cost to the school to have a presenter to go in to teach those children about the Old Testament. Of course, there's a cost because we provide literature for them. But to the school, it is absolutely free, which is amazing. So please, I do urge you to book up and come and join in this day together. Have fellowship together as well as studying God's word. The presenter is leading us, was one of my trainers, and he is amazing. You will really have a great time. It's a bring your own lunch. If you can't remember all of that, which you probably won't, there are leaflets which Andrew has got at the back of the hall for the end of the service you can take away. It's basically the Old Testament in a nutshell. That's what it does. So you will have an amazing time. If you have any trouble booking online, see Andrew. If you have any queries or questions, see me, because you probably can't answer those ones. If it's online, then he'll answer it and sort you out. But any other queries, please do see me. Bring your family. Bring your friends. Bring your neighbour. It's an ideal opportunity to bring the person who you've always wanted to bring into church but didn't quite know when to bring them. It's a story. It's the Bible. It's the book that many, many thousands, millions study but also know about even if they haven't read it before. So introduce them and bring them along to this event. Any questions? Have a chat with me afterwards. Thank you.
I can't wait. I can't wait. Walk through the Bible. Brilliant. Gives you a fantastic overview of what we've just heard from Joe. I've got an announcement to make as well. You will have noticed that there's been a bit of a tidy up in the entrance. Who noticed there was a bit of a tidy up in the entrance? There's been a little bit of a tidy up on the desk as well. We're working through the building. With that in mind, we've booked a hippo bag. It's like a skip for Saturday. So if there's anything lying around that belongs to you, now is your chance to grab it. You've got until Saturday to take it. Because after Saturday, if it's gone and you regret it, don't come and blame me. Yeah? You only have yourself to blame. So you've got a week to clear anything that belongs to you that you might want to keep that you've stored here. There's a skip on Saturday. And if we're going to be paying over £200 for it, we're going to be filling it. Okay? Lovely. Have a look around. Take what's yours, because it's happening. It's happening. Welcome to worship, everyone. It's good to see you all. I'm glad to report that I'm seeing some smiley faces in front of me this morning. So that must be good news. It's good to see you. It's good to be together, particularly on this important day of Covenant Sunday, when we think about our relationship with God and with God's relationship with us. And we'll be talking more about that later. And at the end of this meeting, there'll be the opportunity either to sign one of these cards, and we'll have a look at this prayer later, or take it away with you. You know, to say to God, you know, I wish to continue in these covenants in which I have entered with you. But let us first of all stand, if we are able, and sing together. Jehovah is our strength. Amen. Please take your seats. And I chose this song for this morning because of that emphasis on God's strength. Where we are weak, God is strong. Where we falter, God is faithful. And it's that idea of God's strength that I want you to hold on now, because at the end of the meeting, we will sing that Salvation Army favorite, "I'll Go in the Strength of the Lord." So whatever commitment or whatever covenant we enter into, we don't do it in our own strength because we know how weak we are, but we do it knowing how strong and faithful God is. We enter into a time of prayer now, and to do so, we introduce it with this song, "Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify your name in all the earth. Glorify your name. Glorify your name. Glorify your name in all the earth." Why are you here this morning? What's your purpose for being here this morning? Well, here's the answer. If you were struggling, we glorify Jesus' name. We glorify God's name. We glorify the Holy Spirit's name because of what we know of Him. But also, as we leave this place, we seek to lead lives that glorify His name as well. And we need God's strength for that. Let's join together. We go back to the beginning, Ewan, and perhaps replace that "we" with an "I." Father, I love you. I worship you and I adore you. Glorify your name in all the earth. Glorify your name. Glorify your name. Glorify your name. Glorify your name. Stick there. And let's sing together. Father, I love you. quietness of our own minds, of our own hearts. Make that declaration once again. Father, Jesus, Spirit, I love you. I worship and adore you. I glorify your name. May your name be glorified. Father, Son, and Spirit, I love you. I worship you. And I adore you. Perhaps this morning you're not in the zone, you're not feeling it, and you wonder why you're here this morning, and I challenge you, close your eyes, bow your heads, focus on our God, and if nothing else, allow yourself to experience His peace. Close your eyes. Bow your heads. Make yourself available to His peace this morning. Thank you. Holy God, Father, Son, and Spirit, may your name be glorified in this place this morning. May your name be glorified in our lives. May your name be glorified through all the earth. We praise you and we worship you this morning because you are our God. You are worthy of our praise. You do not stand at a distance. You shower your love upon us. And we are a blessed people because through your Son, Jesus Christ, we can know the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Your name be glorified on all the earth. Be with us, Holy God, this morning. Speak to us. Shape us, mold us, encourage us, challenge us. Give us the grace to listen to difficult things, Lord. Break down barriers, Lord. Break down any obstacles to your Holy Spirit moving in this place this morning. So that we might leave this place more like your Son, Jesus Christ. This morning we think of those of our number who are not with us, Lord, for a variety of different reasons. Health, worrying health conditions in some instances. Grief and sorrow in others. For some it might be the joyful occasion of a few days away, Lord. We pray for them. And we ask for a blessing upon them. We ask for the intervention of your Holy Spirit upon them, Lord. Bless them wherever they are. We pray this morning in particular for our church, the Salvation Army, where we've been asked to pray for it. We've been asked to pray for the appointment conference that gathers today and it decides where leaders, where officers can be best used, Lord, and we pray that your wisdom will pervade that occasion, Lord. But we're also eminently aware, Lord, that many places are going to go without leaders because that's the reality of the world in which we live. So we pray, Lord, would you raise leaders, Lord? Would you fan the flame of our faith into great fires so that we might be challenged to serve you in all sorts of different ways, Lord, including officership, including full-time leadership. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to make your name known. And we need good leaders for that. Lord, bless us all through our gathering this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We listen now to the songsters who bring us power in the blood.
From your burden, sin, there's power in
Thank you, songsters. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, by his death on the cross, changes everything. Takes away that which separates us from God and allows him to know God once again. Thank you very much, songsters. That was powerful singing. You sang it like you meant it, and we thank you for it. And we thank you, Kevin, for your leadership and in the way in which you select music for our worship together. And also what was nice to see during that was the amount of potential candidates for the open songs or rehearsal. So you're in for a good night, Kevin. There was plenty of people singing along. So we hope to see them at the songs, their open rehearsal. The way it's going to be, I know we hammer it. It's my favourite. It is my favourite because it's a real song of holiness. The way it's going to be, the world is going to see a little bit of heaven in my life. Wow! What a challenge! What a challenge! Do people see a bit of heaven in my life? Hope so. But sometimes if I look at myself, I doubt it. And if I do, I can't be alone. Let's stand. Hope you're limbered up. I've got a bit of a funny right arm today, but I hope you're warmed up. We're going to start by going this way. What did we have? Was it 93% participation a couple of weeks ago? I'm looking for 94 today. I'm looking for 94% participation. Oh, goodness me. People are doing lunges at the front of the hall. It's not a sight worth seeing. Press play, Ewan, before we have any injuries.
I just so wanna see your love.
Lovely time in Sunday school, guys. Have a lovely time in Sunday school. Learn lots, have lots of fun. When I stand up in front of you and do that, I always think of my mum. And if my mum was here, she would go, "Oh, he used to be such a quiet wee boy." No. Then I met Jesus. I'm prepared. I'm prepared to make... This is not natural to me. If you think it's natural to me, it's not. But we're going to do what I have to do to connect people with the gospel. And this is daft and it's silly. But it's important. Because moving is important to some people in worship. We'll do it. Putting the gospel message into simple terms is important for some people. So we'll do it. And I think it's truly and properly salvationist. William Booth said he'd do handstands with a drum and cymbals between on his back and cymbals between his knees if it brought anyone into heaven. Well, let's do those handstands. Let's walk on our heads. Not literally, Shirley. Unless you want to give us a demonstration now. We do what it takes so that others might have the chance to connect with the gospel. And the band is going to do what it takes and bring to us an arrangement called All for Thee. Thank you, band. Before we open the word, we're going to sing together Cornerstone, and while we sing that, the offering will be taken up, so we follow the lead of the worship group.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless I stand before the throne. Faultless I stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
So today, as I've already said, is Covenant Sunday. And in the past, we've known it as Commitment Sunday, as well as Vision and Commitment Sunday. And some might remember other names for this kind of date in the Salvationist calendar as well. But today, and that emphasis on the word covenant, gives us the opportunity to think of the covenants, of the relationship that binds us to God, and God to us. And covenant is certainly a word that we don't use very much in everyday speech. but it is an important word. Because if we do not understand the concept, then we will misunderstand the nature of the relationship that binds us to God. The Bible Project defines covenant like this. A covenant is a relationship between two partners who make binding promises to each other and work together to reach a common goal. They're often accompanied by oaths, signs, and ceremonies. Covenants define obligations and commitments, but they are different from a contract because they are relational and personal. And we see this definition in action, so to speak, throughout the Old Testament, where four covenants are recorded between God and his people. The first of these is the covenant with Noah. So after the great flood, God promises, God enters this promise, God sticks to this promise to preserve the earth. And in return, Noah and his descendants take the responsibility to fill and rule the earth. And the sign that signifies this covenant is a rainbow. The next covenant is with Abraham, and it follows that same pattern. Here, God promises land where Abraham's family can settle, grow, and flourish so that they can be a blessing to the world. Abraham and his family's side of the deal is to follow God towards this land and to live rightly before God. And it's circumcision here that symbolizes that covenant. The third Old Testament covenant is between God and Moses. And God reiterates here the covenant he had made with Abraham. And that's important for a people who were in captivity and for whom the promise of land might have seemed unattainable. In this case, though, that kind of vague idea of living rightly before God is codified, really, and the people are given the law, which regulates their relationships and their work, their morality, and their worship. And here, the sign of this covenant is the table of stones on which the tables of stone on which the law is engraved. Fourthly, and finally, for the Old Testament at least, God enters into a covenant with David, and God promises to raise up a descendant from David's descendants whose throne and kingdom will last forever. And here, God's people, in return, are to continue living according to the law given to Moses. And this covenant is signified, is symbolized by the building of a temple. The issue throughout the Old Testament is quite simple, is that the people continually fail to hold to their side of the covenant. But in faithfulness, God keeps his side of the deal. God remains faithful to these covenants. So the contrast between the people's failings and God's faithfulness makes it necessary for a new covenant to be established. And we're going to hear a bit about that covenant now as Isabella brings us a reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 11 to 25. And she's going to be reading from the New Living Translation, which is going to be displayed before you as well.
Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered him to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honour at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering he forever made perfect who for those who have been made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For he says, "This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." Then he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. And then when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near.
Thank you, Bella. I would have liked to have read that. I'm a little bit jealous. What a privilege to read those words. I'm going to be quoting it a lot, so I'll get my chance as well. So in this passage, we see that same pattern that we saw in the Old Testament covenants. God makes commitments, certain commitments to his people. The people were called to respond in particular ways, and the covenant is marked by a sign. Let's look at that in a little bit more detail, and we'll start by looking at the commitments, the four commitments that God makes. And the first of this is a covenant, a commitment to revelation, a commitment to revealing himself. And verse 16 said this, "I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." And there's something very personal here, something very relational, something very intimate. God reveals himself to each and every one of us in the deepest places of our hearts and our minds. He tells us exactly what he wants us to be and to do. And this is God's first commitment to us. Because of Jesus Christ, God is no longer hidden. His will for us, his purposes for us are no longer hidden. He has made himself known to humanity. God has made himself known to you and me in human form, in the person of Jesus Christ, to show us, to reveal to us what it means to be truly and properly human. The second commitment that God makes is a commitment to forgiveness. God commits, and listen to this, to the complete eradication of everything that separates us from God. God commits to the complete eradication, the complete wiping. He gets rid completely of everything that separates us from God. And we read in verse 17, "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." The third commitment that God makes is a commitment to access. In the new covenant, we are welcome into God's presence. You know, we've read about veils today. We've read about curtains. Gone. Gone. The curtain that once hid God, the curtain in which God was held, gone. We can know him. And we read verse 19. We can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Because of this new covenant, we are welcome into God's presence anytime, anywhere, whoever we are, and this forever. Fourthly and finally for this section, God's final commitment is a commitment to give us life. God gives us life, full, free, and eternal. When we read in verse 20, "By his death, Jesus opened up a new and life-giving way." In the new covenant, God commits to giving us life. And following on, of course, because we are following this Old Testament pattern, Hebrews 10, the writer of this 10th chapter of Hebrews, suggests four ways in which people ought to respond to God. Four ways in which people can respond to God. Here we go. Firstly, we can pray. Choosing to draw near to God. Verse 22. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. We can hope, secondly, choosing to keep trusting God for what lies ahead. Verse 23, let us hold tightly without wavering in the hope we affirm. Thirdly, we can be kind, choosing to demonstrate God's love in all that we do. Verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And we can strive for unity. Fourthly, choosing to live out our faithfulness to God in community with one another. And we read in verse 25, let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another. So just like the covenants of the Old Testament, the New Testament is marked by a sign. We've had rainbows, we've had circumcision, we've had stone tablets, we've had the temple. Thank you, someone's listening. Even I'm not listening completely here. We've got these four signs. And the New Covenant, here is the sign that marks it, in which we read in verse 20. By His death, Jesus opened up a new and life-giving way. The New Covenant is marked, is symbolized, is signified, is enacted by the death of Jesus on the cross. The crucial, the essential, the most important point, though, for us to note this morning is this. That in every covenant God has ever made with humankind, He, God, has taken the lion's share of the commitment. In every covenant that God has made with humankind, He has shouldered the greatest responsibility for maintaining that covenant. He takes the lion's share of the weight, if you want to call that, of the covenant. God does the heavy lifting. These were not equal partnerships. The Old Testament covenants were not equal partnerships. And it makes sense that they couldn't be. God is infinite, omnipotent, and eternal, whereas we are fragile and limited. But this imbalance works in our favor, because without it, the covenants might not have lasted very long. That's what we saw in the Old Testament. God is strong, the people are weak, they let Him down. God takes on the lion's share, and the covenant stands. The new covenant stands. And because the new covenant is perhaps the most imbalanced of all the covenants, actually, God gave everything, even His own self, to open up this living way for us. God put His Son on a cross. God died on a cross. God emptied Himself on a cross for us. That sounds like the lion's share of the work to me. That sounds like heavy lifting to me. God's covenant stands because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And all we need to do to accept the reality of that relationship is to simply enter into relationship with Him. To experience the reality of this covenant is to enter into relationship with Him. The revelation, the forgiveness, the access to God, and the life that he gives us, these four elements that I mentioned earlier, are available to us from the moment we say yes to Jesus' invitation to follow him. Another important thing that we are to note this morning is that our responsibility is not one of obligation and duty. Our response to the new covenant, our response to Jesus' gift on the cross, is not one of obligation and duty. And note towards the end, and this is beautiful, note towards the end of the text that we have read, the author repeatedly uses the phrase, "let us." Never do we hear the phrase, "we must." And the tone here is of encouragement and invitation. Let us do these things as a loving response to the God who has done so much for us. However, neither will we be excluded, and this is important to note, from God's love if we don't do these things. That's not how the covenant works. I'm coming to the list of these things in a little bit, but if you followed the reading, you've seen them. That's not how covenant works. God carries the lion's share. And the Bible says in the second letter to Timothy, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. The covenant, the new covenant that binds us to God, does not rely on our ability to remain faithful. No matter how often we falter, the new covenant stands because it rests on God, not on us. God does the heavy lifting. But when we begin to understand all that God has done for us, it's natural to want to respond to that faithfulness with some faithfulness of our own. So these letter statements that I've alluded to are an invitation to respond, but the writer seems to suggest that they could also become responsibilities. And then I think there's a difference here between response and responsibility, isn't there? Responses are spontaneous. Responses are in the moment and sometimes can seem almost involuntary. Whereas a responsibility is a choice to keep doing something because we know it is a good thing to do, because we know it is the right thing to do. Again, these responsibilities aren't obligations. We don't get disqualified if we don't do them. They are things we do in response to the love and grace of God in our lives. When we take up something as a responsibility, we commit to doing it until it becomes a habit, and the habit in turn helps us to grow and mature. So, to conclude, the text suggests four responses we might make to God. Four responses which in turn can become responsibilities which deepen and strengthen our faith. So here are a few habits for the year ahead, and a few habits that you might want to recommit to carrying out this morning, not as a duty, not as an obligation, but as a faithful response to the God who has done so much for you. Here are these habits. Let's make a habit of prayer, drawing into God's presence, learning to know him and ourselves better. Let's make a habit of hope, trusting that God is faithful, that he has been faithful to every covenant in which he has entered. Let's make a habit of kindness, living in loving response to God's generosity. And let's make a habit of unity, seeking togetherness and turning away from division. Once again, we are called to renew our covenant to God. And very shortly, I'm going to invite you to re-enter into a covenant with God. And I'm going to ask you to sign this prayer. And I'm going to read it to you first. Loving Father, the depth of your unconditional and unceasing love is beyond my understanding. But today I respond to that love. As your love lives in me, may my thoughts, words, and actions reflect you at all times and in every place. May my soul be a place we meet, where all I am becomes all that you want me to be in heart, mind, and spirit. That in being one with you, I might see you, know you, and show you in every part of my life. That in me and through me, your kingdom may come now. May this covenant of love draw me deeper and bring others closer to you. You're shortly going to have the opportunity to make that prayer your own by coming forward and perhaps kneeling here and taking the card and signing it. There's plenty of cards around. Some people want to take them home and think about it. I find these moments very easy. I'll grab the card and I'll sign it. I'm happy to sign it. But I recognize that for some, that's not an easy thing to do. That responding simply to God's covenant, responding to entering into that covenantal relationship with God is not an easy thing to do. So that's why I remind you this morning, and that's why we've emphasized on this idea of God's strength throughout our worship. We sang God is our strength. We sang Jesus is our cornerstone. Jesus holds us together. It's because God holds the lion's share. God does the heavy lifting in our relationship with him. This is not about duty. It's not about obligation. It's about grateful response to God for everything that he has done for us. We're going to sing The Lord's My Shepherd, I Shall Not Want. Words well known from Psalm 23, but I love this version because of the chorus it adds. And I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you alone. And that's a declaration that we all make in whatever covenant we enter into with God. I will trust in you. You have done this. I would like to do this in return. But I need your strength to do it. Let us sing together. And if anyone feels moved to sign their card in this moment, do it. Come forward and pray. If anyone wants to come and grab their card and take it away and think about it, do it. But do not respond in these moments. I'm going to push this just a little bit, and don't take chairs or anything or time as a come and do what you've got to do. Come and do what you've got to do. And re-enter into your side of the bargain this morning. You know, God is good. God has given his son for us in a new covenant relationship with us. He holds a lion's share of the weight. Enter into it, then. Bring who you are to it with a desire to serve him in response to what he has done for you. So we sing together, all there is of me, Lord, all there is of me. You'll need to skip a song, Ewan. And that's the prayer we make this morning. We bring all we are to God this morning, our strengths and our weaknesses. But we know that our relationship with him stands because of what Jesus did on the cross. Nothing can surpass that. The sacrifice once and for all. Your sin is gone. You're free to live as God wants you to live in relationship with him because of Jesus Christ. Let's sing together, all there is of me, Lord.
There is of me, Lord, all there is of me. Da-da-da-dee-da.
Go and help him. Let us pray together. Faithful God, in love you created all things. In love you gave us life. In love you washed us clean. In love you brought us to yourself. Awaken our minds to remember your goodness and draw our hearts to trust in your unending kindness. In love we choose you. In love, we set our hopes on you. In love, we draw near to you. In love, we share you with a broken world. Renew us by your Spirit to live faithful lives, devoted in prayer and joyful in hope, lavish in kindness and generous in unity. To the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died to open for us the way to new life. Amen.
So we joined together in singing that Salvation Army favourite. It wasn't written in the Salvation Army. We stole it, as we do lots of things. But the music is ours. And the spirit behind it is definitely the spirit that animates us. This is a song about mission. I'll go in the strength. But I think it's also a song about life. And we go out to live in response to God. Only in his strength, because we know that without it, things can just be a bit blah. Yeah? Let's stand and sing together. I'll go in the strength of the Lord. Lovely. Thank you very much. I'll go in the strength of the Lord. And all these things are possible only because we go in the strength of the Lord. Living as God wishes us to live, we can only do in the strength of the Lord. I leave with you words from the prophet Isaiah, who is speaking to people whose hope in God was being really challenged. And this is what the prophet says that God is saying to the people. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you in my righteous hand. Take those words with you. God will strengthen you and help you. Amen.